Hello and welcome back to Herbs, Acupuncture, and Everything Else. I am herbalist Emma, and this week we have a special guest. Her name is Nicole DiNardo, and she is a certified holistic nutritionist and teacher at the Institute of Holistic Nutrition, as well as an iridologist.
Hi, Emma. Thanks for having me here.
All right, so this week we thought we would take advantage of having Nicole here to talk about one of her specialties, which is cardiovascular health.
Yes, it's something that's really important. It's one of the top killers in North America, so.
Yeah, important. But before we do that, Nicole, can you tell us a little bit about how you got into being a holistic nutritionist and also maybe a little bit about iridology?
Yeah, I got into holistic nutrition because I'm a big foodie and I love talking about food to anyone who will listen to me. So then I decided to take it a bit of a step further and really getting into the nutrition behind it. I changed my lifestyle as well and saw such incredible benefits. So I wanted to make a difference in the world through food.
Love it. Yeah. And how did iridology come about, or iridology?
The second I learned about iridology, I was hooked. Right. It seemed like an incredible diagnostic tool, especially for a nutritionist. So being able to look into the iris and learn about someone's imbalances or where they may need some extra help, that paired with symptomatology of the body, it has been really helpful in my practice.
Yeah, it's really good that you clarified what iridology meant, because I was going to ask that too. But yeah, so that's really interesting. So you have kind of expanded your practice as you've gone on, because you've been a nutritionist for how many years now?
It's been about 3 years now.
Nice, nice. Goes by fast, eh?
It does, yeah.
And now you teach at the same school that you went to, right?
I do. I'm starting in the new year at the Toronto and Mississauga campus teaching symptomatology, which is essentially listening to the signs of the body and then deciphering what our body is trying to tell us.
Oh, yeah. I have so many nutrition questions all the time, and I feel like it's something that there's often a lot of like misinformation about, would you say?
Absolutely. There is a lot of
contradictory statements, maybe?
There's a lot of contradictory information online right now.
Yeah.
And everyone has an opinion on something this way or that, but rarely are people going into the science behind it and looking at the PubMed studies and figuring out what's what.
Yeah, totally. And there's a lot of fad diets. I think people are, like, you hear more and more, like, things floating around, like, keto is great for you, or, no, do low FOD, is it low FODMAP or regular FODMAP?
Low FODMAPs,
yeah, FODMAP diets, and then there's the leaky gut diet, or the...
GAPS.
The GAPS diet, yep. Veganism, raw fruitarian, vegetarian, it's a mess. So, yeah, hopefully today we can shed a little bit of light on that. We'll probably have to have you back for many more episodes about all of those diets.
So many topics.
But yeah, why cardiovascular health?
Cardiovascular health is something that is personally important to me. I had an aunt who had a major heart attack at a young age. My grandmother passed from heart disease. So it is something that's present in my lineage.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have an arrhythmia, and I had a disease that affected my heart at the young age of 7.
Yeah.
So it's a personal concern for me, and also because I feel like it's the best way to make such an impact.
Totally.
You know, so many people are suffering from hypertension, high cholesterol. If your heart's not working, what else you got?
Well, yeah, right? It's like the center of your being. And in Chinese medicine, it's where the shen or the spirit lives. And the heart is it's a very hot organ. It's a fire organ, and it's often influenced by emotions and influences emotions, associated in Chinese medicine with waking up in the middle of the night with lots of dreams. Not necessarily always the heart, but the heart is definitely a part of it. And the pericardium being an organ in Chinese medicine as well, the sac that wraps around the heart as the protector of the heart, and anything that gets through to the heart has to pass through that pericardium layer. In Chinese medicine. So those are kind of just a little overview there of how Chinese medicine sees the heart, and a lot of their medicine is about heart health as well, because it's so vital.
Absolutely.
To the human being.
And I do believe, you know, our emotions can become stagnant in certain organs, and especially feelings of love or heartbreak or heartache, or not expressing a sense of loss in your life can lead to heart issues down the road. You know, our what's the word? our psychology becomes our biology.
I like that. Psychology becomes biology. That's spooky business right there. That gave me chills. Okay, let's see here. Okay, so I guess a big topic that I think we would all need some clarity on would be cholesterol.
Yeah, cholesterol is a big one, and it's actually very integral to our bodies, and it takes a lot of heat, poor cholesterol.
Yeah.
So cholesterol lines every single cell of our body and determines the integrity of the cells. It's also a precursor to our steroid hormones, so it's really important. We need cholesterol, and our body does make it as well. But when we see levels of high cholesterol, right away we start to attack our intake of cholesterol, our dietary intake.
Right.
But we, as a holistic nutritionist, we need to go a step further, look at the root cause and say, okay, why is the body producing too much cholesterol?
Mm-hmm.
Not get it out of the diet.
Right.
We have to figure out what our body's trying to protect us from. So if you think of your arteries being attacked by free radicals, let's say you got a cut on your arm.
Okay.
What does your skin do? You produce something like pus to protect it while it's healing. Inflammation,
white
pus,
blood cells, all that.
White blood cells, it's all healing up in that cut.
Right.
Well, that's exactly what's happening in your arteries. The cholesterol is building plaque because there's been damage to the artery from something else.
Whoa.
So as a holistic nutritionist, we say, is it the cholesterol or was it the damage to the artery?
Okay. So what could cause damage to the artery?
Great question. Hey. So free radical damage, you probably have heard of it before. The classic sign would be from cigarette smoke.
Okay.
So that all the chemicals that you take in from there cause free radical damage in your arteries.
Okay. So is free radical essentially like chemicals or like things that shouldn't be in your bloodstream that are causing issues in your arteries? Is that...
Yeah, it's like a rogue chemical
that
needs an antioxidant to dismember it.
Right. Turn it off, so to speak.
Basically, it needs to be neutralized with an antioxidant. Otherwise, it's free to roam in your body, causing inflammation, causing damage to your arteries and many other parts of your body.
Right, because there are people that go on like low cholesterol diets and still have high cholesterol, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
So there is some sort of toxin that they're being exposed to, whether that be through chemical processing of foods, pollution, even trans fats from fried foods causes free radical damage.
Yeah, so here's a good thing to talk about too. So fats versus trans fats, good cholesterol, bad cholesterol?
Yeah, so I mean, for the general public, people like to say bad.
Yeah.
You know, because it's harder to decipher the intricacies between all the different fats.
Right.
But the truth is, there's a lot of fats that we need in our body. Our brain is made of fat. Our nerves are covered in a fatty sheath.
Mm-hmm.
So we really do need the good fats.
Yeah, man.
And you probably hear a lot about the good fats and the bad fats.
Yeah, good fats are so important. I like to think about how breast milk is mostly fat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first thing that you get when you're welcomed into the world is a high fat diet for a really long time, because that's what it takes to build up the body, right?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the worst things that we've ever done, is to steer away from fat in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. For the most part is when it really got pretty bad with the low fat craze.
Right.
And I'm not surprised with the increase of Alzheimer's with people who followed that low fat diet.
Right. Right, because your nerves and then your neurons are breaking down faster than they should, maybe, or...
Just for the general fact that our brain is made of fat.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Man. So if you do have cholesterol issues, what are things that you can do?
If you have cholesterol issues, the number one thing I'd work on is removing the toxins from your diet and working on an anti-inflammatory diet.
Okay, cool. So not necessarily low cholesterol, but anti-inflammatory.
Exactly.
Cool.
We want to reduce the free radical damage. We want to increase the antioxidants to neutralize any free radicals that may be there.
Mm-hmm.
But I always recommend increasing olive oil, but making sure that it's extra virgin. Just getting a really good source of olive oil. A really good source of monounsaturated fats is avocado as well. So I start with that. I start with some sort of essential fatty acid, getting your omega-3s in, I recommend to all of my cardiology clients to have fatty fish 3 times a week.
Nice.
And that alone, eating the actual fish, has been proven to reduce cholesterol.
Nice. Okay, which fishes? Which fishes?
My
which
fishes. Fish? My fishes.
Yeah.
My favorite fishes is the mackerel.
Okay.
Mackerel is number one for me because it's a small fish. Mm-hmm. And it has a lower exposure to mercury. It doesn't live a long time like bigger fish like tuna.
Right, less bioaccumulation.
Exactly, yeah. And then for that same reason is why I like sardines as well. Mm. I also like fish that are, you know, part of a bycatch, so they're not overfished and their stores in the ocean are still okay. Mm. Anchovies fit into that category as well.
Nice.
Although if someone does have hypertension, I do say to look for anchovies packed in oil, not necessarily salt packed.
Nice. That's so important. I feel like the bycatch is a really important thing to hit on too, mm-hmm, right? Because fishing is, our fish and our oceans are at such, they're in dire straits right now, but also fish are so unbelievably good for us that there's got to be a way to,
it's the demand of those top 8 fish that everyone asks for, which is causing, you know, the influx of the trawling and it's absolutely so wasteful.
Yeah.
So if you can at least help with that industry by purchasing bycatch, I think you're going to help with that waste. And then also asking your fishmonger for different types of fish.
Yeah.
But in general, for heart health, what you want is a cold water, fatty fish.
Nice.
The reason being they're able to keep their blood fluid in a very cold temperature.
Mm.
That means in terms of the stability of that oil, it's great for our arteries.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Man, such good medicine in our food, right?
Yeah.
Holy Hannah. Okay. So on the trail of antioxidants, can you explain what antioxidants are and what are good sources of those for people that are dealing with different heart issues or just want to keep their heart healthy?
Yeah, so antioxidants are a molecule that can bind to another molecule and neutralize its damage. So oxidative stress on the body can cause harm, but if you have an antioxidant, it's because it binds it and shuttles it out. So what I like to recommend are chelators. Chelators are essentially like scavengers. So they bind to toxins, like I said, shuttle them out of the body. And one of the best chelators that we have available is fresh cilantro. It's very, very powerful medicine. It's give or take, not everyone loves the flavor, you know, it tastes like soap,
kind of nasty.
But you can also take it as a supplement too. But parsley, cilantro, dill, and watercress, they're all super powerful chelators.
Dill, eh?
Dill too.
I love a good dill. Yeah. That's great.
You could throw all those herbs into a frittata.
I think we should mention that you're Italian.
And I overpronounce Italian words.
I love it. That's great. Okay. So then, can I ask a follow-up tangent question? Mm-hmm. Are eggs okay?
Oh, what a great question. Because I get that question every day.
Yeah.
Yes. So, eggs... Thinking that eggs are bad for your cholesterol is so 80s.
or vegan.
Or vegan. Or so right now.
Yes.
Okay, so they're like, oh, wow, eggs raise your cholesterol. Darn, stop eating it. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, hang on. Eggs raises your good cholesterol, your HDL.
Oh.
Cool. But now they're dealing with all this conflicting information that's still there to this day, that it's high in cholesterol, but it's actually high in the good cholesterol.
Okay.
And we want our cholesterol levels to be high in HDL.
Okay. So do you actually put cardiac patients on a diet including eggs?
I absolutely do.
Very cool. That's really good to know.
Egg yolks, people. Yolks.
Yolks. So what about whites?
Egg whites are great. Albumin, protein, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
But we get the choline and so many other nutrients from the yolk.
Cool. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Sorry. Keep going on the antioxidants.
Yeah. The yolk is magic sauce. It's pretty
magic
great.
Magic sauce. I love it.
So
yeah.
The antioxidants, obviously the stuff that you'd go to right away would be the blueberries and all those really dark, rich colored fruits. If you're diabetic, you don't have to worry. They're actually low in glycemic, so it's a nice way to get your sweets without worrying about the sugar content in them.
Yeah.
Another one would be cacao powder as well. So dark, making sure you get quality, organic, fair trade dark cocoa powder. But yeah, that's a great antioxidant as well as a polyphenol.
Nice.
So something to lower blood pressure and reduce arterial plaquing as well.
Nice. Yeah. And there's a herb too. I mean, there's a lot of herbs that are probably antioxidant, but there's one that comes to mind that we talked about last episode for oxidative stress, and that one's rhodiola.
Rhodiola.
Yeah. As a great antioxidant. It is a little stimulating though, so I would say if you're hypertensive, then maybe consult your practitioner before taking rhodiola. Like, don't start supplementing with it, but it can definitely be helpful there for sure.
Oh, I love rhodiola, and it smells amazing to me, so I think I might need it.
There you go. Totally.
Other things that are great for the heart healthy diet is improving your liver. So, you know, how do we break down fats? Yes, if there is excess cholesterol going through your body, how does your body process that? So we need the liver to be functioning well, we need the gallbladder, and we need bile. So bile is what's going to emulsify fats. It's kind of like dish soap on a greasy pan.
Hey.
So we need that.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's if you increase the squirting of the bile,
it's very good. It's wacky how your body is like a dishwasher.
It is. Yeah, truly. So some liver supportive foods I love that are also antioxidant is the artichokes.
Yeah.
Artichokes are just magic.
They're good stuff.
Yeah. They've got, they're prebiotic as well. So they feed all your good bugs. And they're great for the liver too.
Very cool, very cool. And artichokes also, the leaves are used in herbal medicine for a similar thing, for liver detox, liver support, that kind of thing.
And super high in fiber, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I like artichokes.
Me too.
I don't like the bad press they get.
They get a lot of flack.
Yeah, for being not yummy. I think they're good. You just gotta cook them right, right?
You do. I think the best way my mom used to do it is she steams them. So she cuts the bottoms off so they can stand up on their own in a pot.
Cute.
Puts a bit of water at the bottom and then lets it go for about an hour with the lid on.
Wow.
Shoves a bunch of garlic inside. And then we eat it with a bit of olive oil and lemon. And you put bring the a plate of olive oil to the table with the artichoke. You put a wedge of bread underneath the plate of olive oil so it's tipped.
What?
Classic Italian style.
Wow.
And then you peel each artichoke off, dip it in the olive oil and lemon, and scrape it with your teeth and eat the leaves like that.
Wow. That's really cool.
It's magical.
That's amazing. This is, you should write a cookbook. Is that in your future?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it should be. Goddamn. That's great. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great way to have it.
Alrighty, so I guess we've got left to touch on some herbs and some little magic, I don't want to say magic bullets, but magic helpers.
Yeah, from your backyard.
Yeah, totally. Alrighty, so what's in your arsenal?
Herby foodie-wise.
Yeah.
Which I think works for both of our domains, is garlic.
Heck yeah.
Right?
Allium sativa. Yeah.
It's pretty powerful, powerful medicine. It's been proven to reduce cholesterol, blood pressure. Obviously, it's great for the immune system as well. Highly antibacterial.
Yeah.
Most preferred way of taking it in is raw.
Yeah.
So I usually recommend to my clients to make a golden paste with garlic. So take about 8 cloves, crush that up into a paste in a pestle and mortar, mixing that with honey, which is also antibacterial and a preservative as well.
Yep.
And then throwing in some turmeric in there for the anti-inflammatory effects.
Awesome.
And then you got yourself a little golden paste.
Yeah, honestly, I know a herbalist that, with patients that didn't want to take tinctures or they didn't want to take the garlic raw, they did that. They made like a garlic honey compote thingy and had it to reduce their blood pressure.
Yeah, you keep it in the fridge. You can add some coconut oil in there as well. Take a spoon a day. And the honey really chills out the sharpness of the garlic.
Yeah, very cool. Because, I don't know a lot of people that just eat raw garlic.
There's
some people.
You don't know people that I know.
Is that an Italian thing?
Yeah.
Eating raw garlic?
Candy.
Oh, my God.
Only when they're sick.
Spicy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like taking a garlic pill
people will do that, like having a clove of garlic.
And just munching it. I have a family garlic farm.
Right.
They're just
yes. You're all about that garlic. Oh my god. All right. What else you got?
What else do I got? I think it's. I don't want to say that there is one magic pill for food. I always recommend the fatty fish as well.
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing is removing the processed food. So eating a clean diet, just literally eating foods that is real food.
Yep.
Increasing your dark leafy vegetables, increasing the rainbow. Anything with polyphenols is going to be a dark, rich, colored food.
Yeah.
That's your go-to. So, you know, cherries.
Yeah.
All those kinds of things. Just getting back to a real home-cooked meal is going to really help you out.
Right. If it's been deep fried, do I eat it?
Nah. Stay away from the trans fats. Stay away from the refined grains.
Okay.
And eat loads of vegetables.
Yep.
You know, red meat too. Don't be afraid of red meat.
Okay.
The only thing I would say is stay away from really charcoaled, char-broiled, dark meat.
Why?
Well, there is free radical damage that comes from that delicious crust on a steak.
Right. Okay.
So stay away from that. Anything smoked, those nitrites and all that kind of stuff, you don't want either.
Yeah. Okay. So no smoked meats, or try to like a little light on the smoked meats if you're gonna have them.
Yeah. Okay. Keep it as in its purest form as possible.
Cool.
Keep that in your thinking when you're buying food.
Mm.
You know, how much has this food been processed from its original state?
Yeah.
And if you have that with you while you're shopping, you'll be able to make some great choices.
Totally. Holy Hannah. Yeah, and I guess on the herb end, there are a couple of herbs to touch on that both of the herbs I'm going to mention are ACE inhibitors. So that's the angiotensin converting enzyme. So all that means is angiotensin. So it's your arteries are contracting, right? So when your arteries are contracting, the blood is moving faster. So if they're ACE inhibitors, they're stopping that rise in blood pressure and the tension of the arteries, and they're letting the arteries relax, right? So herbs that just allow your heart and blood vessels to just chill. So the two herbs for that, one would be hawthorn berries. So Crataegus is the Latin, and those are super, like you can harvest them, they grow here. And similar to what Nicole was saying, you can make a jelly out of them if you want. They will do the same thing, high in polyphenols, just like she said. And those are really lovely. So if people don't want to take a tincture, or they don't want to, for some reason, make a tea out of it or whatever, they can just make fresh hawthorn berry jam and take, you know, a tablespoon of that a day, you know. The leaves and flowers are also the same thing. So you keep them at both stages in growth. Harvest the leaves and flowers from a little shrub tree, and then harvest the berries when they're ready. And the other herb is a Chinese herb. It's called red sage root, Salvia militarizada. I think the Chinese name is Dan Shen. And it is another ACE inhibitor, and it's a blood builder, blood mover, but it decreases heat in the blood, which is really good.
One of your favorite herbs, isn't it?
I like that. I like that one. There's a lot of info on it for Lyme disease as well, which is a whole nother topic. So if it depends on where you are in the world. If you want to go the Chinese route, TCM-wise, do the red sage. If you want to go the Western herbal, do the hawthorn.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, garlic is amazing. Rosemary is nice for just like increasing circulation, right? Adding it to your food.
Do you dig hibiscus?
I do dig hibiscus. Hypotensive, high vitamin C. Really nice. I think vitamin C for heart health too, no?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a very powerful antioxidant.
Yeah, so, it's a nice one. Yeah, for sure.
Any of the berries can be behind that, but also your citrus fruits, your rose hips.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah, rose hips again. Yarrow's technically also hypotensive. I don't use that one a lot for that, honestly, but that one could be totally put into a lower blood pressure formula.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anybody? Any herbs you can think
linden?
Of? Oh, yeah.
Not yet.
How am I forgetting about linden? Oh, my gosh. Linden's nice. So that's also sometimes called lime blossom or basswood flowers. And they grow here as well. And they are just the most delicious tea. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, I would just recommend getting linden blossom tea. Tastes amazing.
So delicious.
You don't need to do anything to it. And it's another one of those lowering blood pressure, just happy heart. Happy heart herbs. Yeah, perfect.
So it looks like we've got a really good prescription for us. We've got some herbs, some tasty-ass food.
We have a lot of stuff. And yeah, that's thank you so much for being here and spreading your knowledge. I feel like we're going to have you back to talk about the keto diet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I have questions and feelings and concerns, basically. But that's awesome. Thank you so much. We wish you all the best luck in your teaching career. You're going to be amazing.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Okay, we'll see you all soon. Stay happy and healthy.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.